This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:37 a.m. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, we are turning our attention to what's happening with our retirement savings under EPF. Now, EPF yesterday announced a restructuring of members' accounts effective from the 11th of May. All members under the age of 55 will have three accounts, with the third known as the flexible account, which will start with a zero balance. And between May and August, there is a one-time option to transfer part of the savings in account to the new flexible account with some terms and conditions applied.
Now, all contributions after mid-May, will be allocated in a new manner that is 75% into account one, 15% into account two, and 10% into that flexible new account. Previously, it was 70% contributions go into account one, and then 30% into account two. Now, it's worth noting that savings in this new account can be withdrawn at any time according to your needs. But how will this impact EPF's investment portfolio? And have we adequately addressed the old age poverty time bomb?
For some thoughts on this, we have on the line with us Ng Juhan, CEO and founder of TradeView Capital. Juhan, good morning. Thanks as always for joining us. So the news is official. EPF has launched account three, known as the flexible account for members below the age of 55. What are your initial thoughts on this restructuring exercise?
Good morning, Xiaoning. Good morning, Shazana. Thanks for having me. The account three is the most significant change to savings account structure since 2007, when account one and two split was first introduced. This new initiative to meet withdrawal demands from EPF members for their flexible use of retirement savings without having to wait to 55 years old, in actual fact, has its roots in COVID-19 pandemic, when the government broke the sacred rule of EPF, allowing a series of withdrawal totaling RM 145 billions of savings taken out. So what we are seeing today is a direct result of the floodgate being opened due to populist measure. And once the gate is wide open, it's very hard to shut it. I believe this is somewhat a middle ground compromise solution to balance the interests of the savers and those who continuously want the withdrawals. While I respect that everyone has a right to decide how they want to use their retirement savings, and nobody, myself included, should have a say on how you spend your money, I believe with the current low level of financial literacy in Malaysia, proliferation of scams and get-rich-quick schemes, Malaysians in general are not yet ready for the responsibility of withdrawal flexibility that comes with EPF account three.
Okay, but we know that there will be, worryingly maybe then, there is no limit to be imposed for withdrawal from account three. In such a scenario, I'm curious from an EPF perspective, what's going to happen to their investment strategy? Because they will need to manage this liquidity element, which they never needed to in the past.
I think this is a good question, because one of the first things is many members who are savers are worried this will affect the EPF yearly performance portfolio. So in short, is EPF adopts SAA, Strategic Asset Allocation Method, which is similar to what fund managers like us do. It consists of a certain percentage of diversification across asset classes such as equities, real estate, private markets, fixed income, commodities, etc. All these asset classes make up the entire EPF investment portfolio. So in order to meet potential redemption from clients, we need to set aside a portion of our investment portfolio in assets that are easy to monetize. Similarly, with account three, EPF will then need to set aside sufficient liquidity to meet the withdrawal needs of members as and when required. This means that the funds that are set aside for liquidity purposes cannot be used for long-term investments or investments into asset class that is hard to realize. And of course, this percentage of funds will likely, in my view, be put into short-term money market or deposits and not long-term bonds, equities, not real estate, not private market investments.
EPF has said that dividends will remain the same across all three accounts. How do you think they're going to do that? And should we expect this to change moving forward?
I think it is not easy, but with their portfolio, I estimate close to about 25 to 30 billion that will be set aside for the immediate withdrawal once a country comes into force. And subsequently, every year, close to about 4 to 5 billion to be set aside. So it's actually very, very marginal in terms of its overall impact towards the performance. So it is my view that the dividends will likely remain the same throughout the performance. But of course, if they are to introduce it currently, it makes sense to standardize the dividend payment. Otherwise, it defeats the purpose of introducing a country in the first place. So my view is that EPF will manage the investment portfolio in totality, but the realized gains that will be utilized and distributed as dividends to members will then be simply allocated based on the quantum of saving balance across all accounts, rather than pegging certain returns to each account differently. But no doubt, after implementation, following a period of monitoring of saving behaviors, EPF can possibly change it. And if they want to encourage certain behaviors or policy objectives, for example, they want to reward savers and encourage people not to withdraw, it is easy to just provide higher dividend payout rate or dividend to account one instead of account three. But of course, then it would defeat the purpose of account three in the first place.
I'm curious, Johan, your views about the ability of members to be able to transfer part of their balance from account two to account three for a short window between May and August this year. Do you think it's a good idea? And really, what impact will this have on your final retirement savings then, if you keep dipping into account three also?
I think this is this opt-in measure within a short 3 month window is just to help give a head start to those who wants to build up their saving balance in account three for the purpose of flexibility. And likely those who want to opt for this measure are those probably is in dire financial situation or have an immediate need for huge sum of money and they have nowhere else to turn to but their EPF savings. Or potentially, it's also targeting members who needs to withdraw but doesn't fall under the permitted situation under account two, such as education, first property, or medical needs. So if you ask me for long-term retirement security, I would definitely advise against taking money out from account two to account three and just leave it untouched if possible. Right? If you really want to build up your account three, just take it gradual. Because you see, EPF recommends that members should have at least 240,000 in retirement savings by 55 years old so that they can have at least 1,000 of monthly usage for the next 20 years. But currently, only 33% of EPF members have 240K savings and above. That is very, very worrying. And definitely having such new schemes coming into force, naturally it's against the tenet of EPF goal, which is to provide savings for retirement, not for flexible withdrawals. Of course, that said, I think this is the policymakers' decision to satisfy some complaint, and there is some level of political expediency here. But in life, it's hard to please everyone, right? So looking from a standpoint, the positive out of this is that the quantum for account one has increased from 70% to 75%. So that probably addresses the long-term security concerns.
Johan, what would you say to those who believe that it's better to withdraw savings from EPF for your own investment purposes? And with a flexible account, it would be easier to do that, no?
I think if you are Warren Buffett or Peter Lynch, by all means, go ahead and withdraw and invest in it yourself, right? You'll probably become a millionaire in this lifetime. But if you're not, my advice is to, of course, think very carefully. I mean, I run a fund management company, right? Whenever clients ask me whether they should withdraw their EPF money to park it in my fund, as much as I want their money, I always reject them outright. Because it is not that I lack the confidence to deliver returns. The fact is, investment is cyclical. You cannot control market forces beyond a very short span of time. Time is the one that normalizes and all risk, in my view. So naturally, this goes against the fundamental of financial prudence. And of course, my personal belief that EPF savings is simply meant for rainy days and retirement usage. Another thing is that it is a social protection scheme provided by government for its citizens, right? It's not a personal PE bank to meet your lifestyle choice. So coming back, I think EPF is possibly one of the best thing our Malaysian government has ever done for the rakyat. And I think the compounding ability has proven itself. So unless you can beat this compounding track record of EPF. Otherwise, taking out to invest on your own is not the most financially matured approach.
Chuhan, I'm going to put you on the spot. You know, you've talked about the data that so many Malaysians don't have enough savings when they retire. They don't even have 240,000 ringgit. So how can we actually work on this retirement savings gap time bomb that we actually have?
I think two-pronged approach, Xiaoning. Number one is, of course, we need to enhance financial literacy and for people to understand the beauty of the compounding effect of EPF. Instead of the narrative that is painted all the time that our government is not performing, our economy is not going down, EPF will collapse someday, it's a Ponzi scheme. We need an enhancement of the financial literacy. Wash away the narrative of the that was painted by some quarters, irresponsible quarters. That's the first thing. But the second thing, I think, is voluntary contribution. So EPF done right by increasing voluntary contribution from 60,000 threshold limit to 100,000. So I think actively, I have also heard people around me that nowadays, whenever they do not know what to do, apart from buying gold, you know, a lot of them actually started putting in the voluntary top up. I think this is the short-term stopgap measure. But of course, due to the huge 145 billion that was withdrawn in the past 2020 to 2022, it's not easy to fill the hole immediately, right? So the only other alternative, I think, is for people to realize that, and also for EPF to extend to also informal worker sector, those gig economy or those YouTubers or whatever it may be, for them to opt in. And then that's the only way for it to continue to sustain.
Juhan, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Ng Juhan, CEO and founder of TradeView Capital, giving us his thoughts on the restructuring of EPF accounts, what the implications of the Flexible Account 3 could be, and putting this in the broader scheme of our retirement.
Yeah, so important, right, that we actually save for that rainy day. But I do understand the struggle sometimes. It can be challenging.
All right, 8:49 in the morning. We're going to head into some messages, but we will come back to discuss the FTA landscape. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.